Welcome to Nourishing the Mother, an inspired conversation space between Bridget Wood and Julie Tenner on the journey of motherhood through the common thread of parenting, relationship, and sexuality as a path to consciousness.
We keep our conversations honest, our experiences real, and our philosophies exploratory. We believe that in order to raise incredible humans, we first have to raise ourselves. We know that in order to rock the family, you've got to nourish the mother. If you are here, you care about paving a path of conscious and intentional motherhood, connected with yourself and your gifts, and also illuminating your children in theirs so we may raise more whole humans who can impact this world in a more humane way.
If you desire to integrate your learnings practically and supportively, head on over to bridgetwood.life or julietenner.love to go deeper. And for all live-streamed pre-release podcasts and all our free content, head over to our free Facebook group, Nourishing the Mother with Bridget Wood and Julie Tenner. We are Julie Tenner and Bridget Wood, and we are so grateful you're here.
This episode contains world words.
Hello and welcome to Nourishing the Mother. I'm Bridget Wood.
And I'm Julie Tenner. And today's podcast is Hard to Be Around Your Child Today. Try this.
And our goal with this podcast is really to give you some space between your emotions, your judgment perhaps of your child and yourself, to really get beyond what you think this means, to see a bit of a bigger picture.
Yeah. Would you like to start us off with a story, Bridget?
I would. So I've had a pretty coasty kind of start to the year, and I think you and I have both talked about this, Jules, with our more challenging children and school refusal, and that was until this week. And I've had a couple of days where I've really hit my edges around her unwillingness, inability in a moment or series of moments to be able to go to school, and then how I've worked with the intense emotions within me and moved through it, and sometimes not moved through it, right? Like being really caught in my reaction. And I thought it was really helpful as I was going through my process of noticing where I was like, no, this is actually really authentic anger for me that she's not going, because it has all of these impacts. Like, yes, okay, you're having an experience, and it has all these impacts on me, on our family, on the bigger picture. And I think so often what we can tend to do is replay it back in our mind and think about all the ways we should have done better or should have responded in a different way. But then I actually really think it's important to look at, okay, well, how was it actually just the response that was needed for that situation and for that child and our dynamic, rather than us going, you know, the Bible of conscious parenting says that I should be more regulated, or I should have said these particular words. And to really look at, okay, well, that's maybe an ideal, but the real is we're humans with triggers and emotions and stories and priorities that don't always center on our child. And it can actually be really beneficial that we don't always center on our child. Why? Because I think that they need, part of what our role is as parents is to build our child's frustration tolerance and ability to be with disappointment. And if we're constantly meeting their needs and preempting their needs, then we really shorten the gap between, you know, their experience and disappointment, or their experience and a resolution of that disappointment, or even the incidences in which they're getting to practice disappointment and frustration. I think particularly in the world we live in, which there's so much constant opportunity to get a dopamine fix, holding our child in discomfort and things not quite working for them is actually part of our role as parents, because it's not always going to work in their favor. They're not always going to be the priority in a situation. Sometimes they're going to have to go with what their sibling needs or a parent needs, or to delay or experience, you know, not have that instant gratification that maybe they might be used to. So I think it's important for us to hold this as parents, because this is also often uncomfortable for us to be with their discomfort or to be with their frustration, because there's a part of us that finds it uncomfortable or finds it hard to be around. So when we can see the function or the wisdom in it, you know, and them in being around their hardness, then we can also see that this is actually building a capacity in my child that's going to help them in the world. And actually the degree to which I can be with my preschooler's frustration or my tween's frustration is also the degree to which I'm going to be able to be with my teen's frustration when the world is not the way that they want it to be. You know, they didn't get onto the team. They didn't get the grade they wanted. They didn't, they don't have that. We were not having the dinner that they choose. All of these little experiences are actually all opportunities for building emotional capacity and an opportunity to see someone else's experience rather than just their own.
Mm-hmm. So let's begin then with your experience this morning and step one for the people that are listening and try this is get some space and look for the bigger picture. So can you talk to us about how you did that this morning?
Yeah. So this morning, because I could really notice myself actually not having a lot of empathy today for her unwillingness, because in fact it was, she was fine to go. And then it was the hairbrush that wasn't right, you know, or doing her hair that wasn't right. So it was, she wanted to go, but there was this block in the way, and that block in the way was actually becoming a boulder for her sister getting to kinder, me getting to, you know, where I needed to go. And so in that moment, my bigger picture was actually, well, in this moment, I'm willing to lead her and move her, even in her unwillingness or her frustration or her not solving her problem. You know, so I'm essentially going, you're going to school, even when this thing's not resolved for you the way you want it. Whereas, you know, in the realms of conscious parenting, we may think, okay, we've got to try to ease them through their feelings or listen to the feelings or help them get to school with a really settled nervous system. The reality is sometimes they're just not going to be going into school with a really settled nervous system. And sometimes you are the villain for your child. And this can be uncomfortable for our identity if we hold on a pedestal the parts of us that are spacious, attuned, respectful of our children. But I actually think it's really great for us to experience, wow, like my kid is really pissed at me, frustrated with me. Can I hold on to, a little bit like last week's episode, can I hold on to myself enough to be okay with how they feel in this moment, in this day about me? So that's part of the bigger picture piece. And then it's also, can I be okay to hand her over, you know, a little unsettled, not completely dysregulated, but a little unsettled. In the end, we resolved it by kind of pivoting a little and bringing the dog with us in the car, which helped her transition. But that bigger picture piece was, can I be really authentic with her, which was my anger. Like to be really authentic with her in that moment was, I'm actually really angry now. This is the second time this week I've now not been able to do the thing that's really important for me, not only for my values and my interests, but also so that I can show up and be the mum I want to be, which is exercise. And sometimes I think we can deny the value of that expression to our child because we can tend to think, oh, but then am I making them responsible for my feelings? And like, where's that line? But I think it's okay for our kids to know that their behaviors impact other people, sometimes in ways that make other people feel really frustrated. So I'm kind of going through all of this in my head as I'm going through my frustration and anger, really. And so
I want to clarify, though, that there is a distinct difference between taking ownership and responsibility for your own feelings and almost narrating that experience to your child so that they're matching what they're feeling in their body to a consensus outside of them, and they're both matching and they're going, okay, cool, I've got it. She's angry. That matches what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Versus, no, I'm fine, zipping it up in whatever way. And then they have a disparity, which creates ultimately a conflict in them later emotionally because there is no clarity and blueprint or authenticity. Or where you become the raging 6-year-old and you lose your shit over them. And now they have to step into the role of being parent. So I just want to clarify, maybe nuance into a little bit that, just in case there's any loss of clarification across the transmission medium that is a podcast,
yes,
is when Bridget says she's being really authentic, in her expression. And also, you know, there's so much value in that. I want to preface that with the only way that she's able to do that is because she's moved and healed beyond the six-year-old in her that's getting triggered right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The six-year-old Sylvie in you is not driving your bus right now.
That's right. Yeah. Because the six-year-old Sylvie in me would be unhinged rage or puddle of tears, really, which was the, you know, the puddle of tears that she's in.
Yes. So yeah. When we're talking about authentic expressions, we're not talking about the wounded part of you that's out to play right now. Mm. We're talking about the integration of your true feminine feeling expression with enough masculine that holds the containers like a banks of a river for it to flow down in the direction of your values and your highest purpose, not washing over the boundaries. Right? Yeah. Like, does this make sense? Like, I just really want to be nuanced there for people that are listening.
Yeah. And also too, to recognize and acknowledge too, that we can tend to think that regulated is calm and attuned, or, you know, essentially calm, but it's not. Like, you can be really angry and also really connected to yourself. And regulation essentially means you have a moment of connection to yourself. So I was really connected to myself and really angry. And I had moments of where I could feel myself getting outside that window of tolerance, and so I would just take a breath. But I was still allowing myself to feel my expression of anger and authentically communicate that and voice that, because you're right, it's actually almost, you know, potentially more scary for our child to see us try with all our might to zip it up and say, no, I'm fine, it's okay, we'll deal with it. When in fact you're not fine at all, you're just holding it together.
Yeah.
But it's the persona of mother that you think you need to live up to that says you can't authentically express your anger.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you say get some space, what I hear you saying is you've got an eye on the prize in that you're not collapsing into judgment around what is true for you in this moment. You're going, no, I can see how this is of benefit to her and to me and to our family unit and to the bigger picture and vision that we have for each other, ourselves in the unit. And then I also hear you saying, and there's part of me, which is your masculine, that has an eye on, I'm flowing down the riverbanks. Ooh, the river's risen. I'm about to tip over the riverbanks. I'm going to take a breath and bring the river back down again so it can still flow in this lane. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and I mean, even at one point, my daughter, she said to me, "Mom, your voice is scaring me. Your voice is scary," and so that was a great invitation for me to go, "Okay, well, okay, I can feel." Then she's feeling me almost like that river begin to, as you say, like hit those banks and maybe overflow, and so that's when I could say to her, "Okay, I can hear that. All right, I'm going to take a breath right now and just come back into myself." And so it was this beautiful dance in the end, even though she's upset and even though I'm angry, of recognizing the impact of my behavior or my tone on how she's feeling and how I can then take that information and work with it and be responsible with it, rather than just, you know, like yelling at her and throwing it at her because it's your fault that I'm this. Yeah, yeah, none of that.
Or trying to contort your truth.
Yeah, yeah,
Just, oh, you're right, mummy's mean, let me be nice again.
Yeah.
Let me Stepford wife this situation.
Yes, yeah, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what we mean by step one, get some space and look for the bigger picture. This podcast is brought to you by what we have going on in the world. Over at julietenner.love, you can join a live round of Queen School. Get out of your head and into your body, sensuality, and magnetism. It's time to stop shutting down your feminine and awaken your desire and attraction force within your life and within your relationship. So come learn all things masculine and feminine energy with me over 4 live facilitated weeks beginning March 4. Find out more at julietenner.love. And Bridge, what have you got going on in the world?
Well, if 2024 is the year you're committed to creating more capacity and joy in your mothering, then the Reimagining Motherhood Mentorship is for you. It's 3 months together with me for an intimate group of women dedicated to both conscious parenting and their own fulfillment and expression, rather than feeling weighed down by motherhood. Find out more about the program and the early bird offer at bridgetwood.life.
Step 2 is I suppose having a foot in the concept of we're always moving towards and away from people all of the time, including our children.
So in human behavior, there's this concept of infatuation and resentment that drives us toward things. So we're moving toward the things we infatuate with, and we know when we're infatuated when our language is flowery and, like, you know, we almost want to consume that thing and we, like, light up toward it. And then resentment, which is we want to close down toward it, we want to deflect away from it. Our tone tends to drop down. It's more monotone, disinterested. And in any relationship, we are swinging between those things. And you'll notice it with your children. You're flowery when you're feeling connected and, you know, you love what they're doing. And then you drop all the flowery, sweetheart, you know, honey, and you just say their name when you're resentful. And this dance is happening all of the time. And, you know, the bigger our infatuation with parts of our children, the deeper the other parts of them we're resenting. And we typically resent the parts of our children that reflect the things that we were judged and condemned for as children, or the things that are really outside our value system. So we find it really hard to connect to those things because they're not important to us. You know, imagine the tween boy with video games. If you haven't seen the value to him of that and to you of honoring that, then you may likely become resentful around their use of that and, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. So beyond the realms of conscious parenting, the truth of human behavior is that you're going to be swinging between infatuation and resentment with your children and, you know, within a lot of relationships that you're in. And so just noticing when you swing into resentment, you know, what's this about? And how is this also the other side of all of these hours that I've, like, been loved up and, you know, want to consume them and they're so sweet? And and in fact, the goal is not to get back to infatuation. The goal is to embrace the sweet spot, which is the synchronicity of both of those things, which is what makes love. Like, love is a synthesis of both of those things. It's not puffed up high, you know, infatuation, and it's not deep down low resentment. It's just these two things together that make the whole. And the more, and just recognizing that, okay, this thing that I resent, how can I also love that? So you bring yourself out of resentment, and the thing that you're infatuated with, how can I calm that down and also see, like, maybe the drawbacks of the thing that I just want to consume all the time or want to be around all the time, so that I get to come back into me.
Well, the truth is, because that's the truth of everything in this universe, humans included, is there's all this glorious stuff and there's the dark, darkened, messy, would rather not have to deal with it stuff, but they come as a bundle. So all of the stuff you love that's in the light, it has a brother or sister emotion in the dark. You remove one, you remove both. So it's that just constant idea that true love sees the entirety of the human. Lopsided love that ultimately has an end point sees only one. So
beautiful.
It's just such a beautiful expression of what love really is, which is what we're all trying to cultivate in our parent-child relationships.
And then if we consider that, then we also need to look at, okay, well, what's the value then of me expressing my whole human to my child, as opposed to cutting off, shoving down, you know, disowning the parts that we don't think fit our identity or we don't want to have as part of us? Does that then have them go look for one-sided humans in the world? Because we're the blueprint for the relationship skills and imprint that they take into the world. And so if we want them to be deeply embodied in all of who they are, which is these two sides, then integrating and being authentic with all of ourselves is a great gift to them, even in that moment when it feels uncomfortable for us, you know, or them.
Totally. And point number three is the idea or the concept that we give birth to our repression. So our unexpressed, unhealed parts on like the great cosmic joke, we give birth to them so that we are forced into relationship with them. Right. So you and I have always said, Bridgie, look, you can pick your temple, right? Relationship can be the temple where the more intimate the relationship, the closer the attachment, the more we transpose our original attachment wounds and the more that we meet them and the more we have the opportunity, therefore, to heal them, but only through the meeting of them, which is the part we don't like.
Yeah, which is the part we want to avoid.
Yeah. And I always think with relationships, we can find a way to exit them now. Whereas in the parent-child relationship, you really can't. So I just remind myself so often that we give birth to our repressed parts. And I can say even in all four of my children, I can pick exactly who I was based on who they are, right? Mm-hmm. And we all love that idea of we want to give our children everything we never had.
Yeah.
But the truth is, living with that in your face is really hard. Because it forces you to look at that part of you that didn't have that, that doesn't know how to have that.
Mm.
And that's where the repulsion comes from.
Yeah, doesn't it? And repulsion's a great way to explain it because, yeah, what we're resentful of, we're almost repulsed by. Like we don't want to be around it. We have a physical sense of like, ugh. And our partner, we know what it's like when our partners do this or we respond to our partners in this way. And the same's true with our children. But often I think it's less socially acceptable, I think, to really acknowledge that or own
it. Isn't it? Yeah, we don't talk about this part of parenting often, which is over the course of your parenting career, you will fall in and out of infatuated love with your child over and over and over again. And there, if you have multiple children, there's seasons of children where you're like, oh my God, I just freaking love you. And oh my God, I can't stand to be around you.
Yeah. I think the beautiful thing about that is to acknowledge it and fully be with it and also recognize this is a me problem, really.
Yeah.
And so what's it about?
Yeah.
What feels so gritty here?
Yeah. What part of you is really hard to be around? Where's the mirror for that? So you and I were talking earlier around, well, she's just so demanding. What part of me is uncomfortable with my own demanding or was never allowed to demand? So learn when she's demanding, she is unworthy of love.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just doing that reflection piece and going, wow, what's the piece of me here that's struggling? Because it was never okay.
And also, I mean, a big way for us to kind of map that too is to look at, you know, as a child, what was I rewarded for? Because when I can see what I was rewarded for, I can often see the inverse of, you know, what was I condemned for? And particularly as girls, often it is how complicit you are and good you are and how much do you conform to what's expected of you. So demandingness is completely at odds with conforming to somebody else's wishes of you. And then I think what that unlocks when we really let that land is not only capacity to be with our child, but like, you know, there's been moments when I've done this kind of work with each of my children at various points. Like actual tears of gratitude and like heart bursting love for that child for showing that to me. And then you're not run by it anymore because you're like, oh, thank you, piece of me.
Totally.
And they can do the same thing and it just has no impact. It's almost like Teflon because you're not plugged into it anymore.
Yeah, totally. So just as a refresher to you, this is you today or tomorrow. We would love you first to just get some space. Make sure that you have a river that is flowing down those banks and that your banks are able to hold it. And if not, what do you need to do? We want you to have an eye on the bigger picture for how is this serving you and serving your child and your visions that you have for the life you want to live together. The remembrance that human nature, perhaps the human experience in general, is always going to be a wave, you know, like an in-breath and an out-breath. So too is the truth of love. So we're always moving towards and we're moving away and we're moving towards and we're moving away. And that is an expression of love as we navigate our purpose and our soul and our light. And equally, the human you, the wounded you, wants to give your children everything you never had. And the truth is, living with the expression of that repression is painful and you're going to be repulsed by it until you learn how to love it and have it at your table within you and your home. So all natural, all normal, all processes for growth.
Yeah.
And Bridgie, how do we do more of this work with you?
Yes, you have Oh, I don't know, maybe like a couple of days to jump into the Reimagining Motherhood mentorship until another 6 months, which is when it opens again. Or we can do this work together in Reimagining Motherhood. So every week I show up to hold space for you and for your processing and for your unpacking of your own mothering journey, and also how to practically show up in situations like this with your child in a blow-by-blow kind of way. So hop in to there via bridgetwood.life. And you, Jules?
Is Queen School. We have All Things Queen School happening live round. I haven't done one in like 18 months and I'm fucking loving the shit out of it. It's so good. So if you are ready to do all things healing masculine and feminine energy within you, magnetic communication and that sensuality, sexuality dance, then Queen School is your place with 4 live weeks with me, an incredible community. So you can still come and join me, and you can find out more about Queen School at julietenner.love.
Remember to nourish the woman to rock the family.
And we'll see you next week when we continue to peel back the layers on your mothering journey.
Thank you so much for listening. We literally couldn't do this without you. Please share this podcast with anyone you think it would be medicine for.
If you desire to integrate your learnings practically and supportively into your life, then head on over to bridgetwood.life or julietenner.love to go deeper.
And if you feel like giving back a little to this free content, please rate us on iTunes or Facebook, all of which helps the podcast reach more mamas who need this type of tonic for the soul.